Praise God. Turn to somebody by you and tell them somebody's coming to get the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Is there anybody in your house or in your circle that you'd like to see come receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost? There's a truth in the kingdom of God that works like this. You may work in a certain area and not see any increase there at all, but God will always be bringing something up. If you're in growth class, you need to make your way over. Brother John Hagedorn is ready for you, and that's going to make you strong in the kingdom of God. Psalms 96 is where we'll be working tonight. Psalms 96. Praise God. Would you say, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord and bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen. His wonders among all people. For the Lord is great, greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Praise God. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And fear before him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. Praise God. God bless you. You can be seated. If you love his word, let's give him praise and thanks for his word tonight that is forever settled in the heavens. Let's give him some high praise because he's worthy of all the glory and all the honor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so we've been working on evangelism here for a little while, so we'll make tracks through the 96th Psalm. And it's an interesting passage and an interesting psalm. You find this psalm almost verbatim in 1 Chronicles chapter 16. And it is in that area of the narrative where David has gone to the house of Obed-Edom and he's retrieving the ark and bringing it back to its rightful place. And in chapter 16, after the ark is delivered and David has danced down Main Street with all of his might and the people are blessed and David sent out presents and offerings and blessings to all the people, then the next day, the very first day, David prays a psalm or sings a psalm among the people of God. And he sings a combination of the first 15 verses of Psalms 105, and he sings a portion of Psalms 96. And it's a celebration time, and it's the first day the ark has been back. And Psalms 105 is a brief history of Israel and kind of goes back and covers all of where they've come from and what they've been through. And he's reminiscing in that song because this is an important day. The word of God has come back to Israel and Judah. And David is excited about that. But I want to draw our attention tonight to that passage in 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 20 through 22. He's giving a historical narrative of Israel and the beginnings of this nation. And in verse 20, he said, they went from nation to nation and from one kingdom to another people. When they started there with Abram and Isaac and Jacob, who would become Israel, they were vagabonds and they lived in tents. And David sings from the 105th Psalm, and he says they went everywhere, and they were among the nations, and they were among the kingdoms of other people or heathens. In verse 21, he reproved kings for their sake. God spoke to them. And if you remember the story of Abram and Sarah, and the king was going to take Sarah to be his wife, and God woke him up in the middle of the night and said, thou art but a dead man. And that's what this verse is talking about. God came in to those countries that Israel was sojourning through, and he said, you better treat these folks right. And these are the words that he used in verse 22. Touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. You understand that in this context, God was sending Israel, even in those early days, into other people groups and into other nations. And it was the will and the purpose of God that Israel would evangelize their world. It was the purpose of God that Israel was supposed to have all of God that they could get and love God with a whole heart and then be emissaries and evangelists for God in all the known world. But they never could get past the first stage of loving God with all their heart. They never could get past being sold out to God, and so they always or continually fell into the temptations of the nations that surrounded them. But in these three verses, they went from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another people. And God reproved kings for their sake. There wasn't a lack of God there. God was there in all of his full-orbed strength for them. There was no limit to what they could have done. And God is so wise and so merciful. We see and understand in the stories of Rahab and Ruth that God can reach into a heathen construct, and he can bring somebody not only into the safety of his chosen people, but God is able to make that person that was living outside among the Canaanites or outside among the Moabites, God is able to bring them in and not only make them part, but make them mighty in the workings of the kingdom of God. Both of those ladies, one of whom was a harlot, wound up in the lineage and in the bloodline of Jesus Christ. Praise God. I'm telling you, God wanted to bless Israel, but for the good of the world. He had told Abram when all of this started, he said, I'm going to bless you, and in you all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. Don't ever make a mistake of thinking that the blessings of God are coming on you for just you. The blessings of God always come to you so that you can be a blessing. The word of God has come to you so that you can speak the word of God. The grace of God has come to you so that you can be a vessel for the grace of God. God never does anything on a dead end street. God never does anything without somebody else in mind. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. Well, when David gets down to this latter part of the 105th Psalm, around the 15th verse of the 105th, which is 22 in 1 Chronicles 16. Then he begins with Psalms 96. And he starts in verse 23 of 1 Chronicles 16 with passages out of the 96th Psalm. And he links these two together, the idea of Israel as an evangelist, of Israel as the emissary of God. And he links it with this 96th Psalm. Verses 1 through 6 are a mandate for Israel. Sing unto the Lord a new song. It's the will of God for his people that they be full of song. and that they not sing the old songs of the flesh pots of Egypt, but that they sing a new song, which is praise unto our God. God always wants his people to be full of singing. He begins with, I want you to sing, and I want you to sing the new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. But it's not just Israel that God wants to hear breaking forth in song. But God wants to hear the whole earth break forth in song. I'm telling you, he died for the whole world. It is the purpose of God that the whole world hear this gospel. It was the purpose of God that Israel would bless the whole world, but they couldn't get over themselves. But as David sings, and he may or may not have known that he was weaving a prophecy together here. He's singing after the historical narrative of God's description of Israel as an evangelist. He said, you need to sing the new song. You need to sing the song all the earth. Verse 2 of chapter 96 in the psalm. Sing unto the Lord. Bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. The function of the church beyond your own experience with God is to sing the new song. To bless his name. To show forth his salvation from day to day. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of this earth. You are the hand of God, the extension of his incarnation. And it is the will of God that those that work around you, and those that school around you, and those that live around you, it is the purpose and will of God for your life that you sing about the salvation of God. Everybody say, show forth his salvation from day to day. It was the mandate of Israel, and it is the mandate of the church of the living God. I can't do anything about Israel, and I can't do anything about people outside my own circle, but I can tell you this, I can hear this today, and I can make a pledge to God. I'm going to sing the new song. I'm going to be found blessing your name, and I'm going to show forth your salvation from day to day. Verse 3. Declare his glory among the heathen. Your job is not to make more money and drive a better car and build a bigger house. Do all of that you want to do. Get as much as you can and enjoy the blessings of God. He came that you might have life, and that more abundantly. But there's a mandate in the word of God that said, declare the Lord and his greatness among the heathen. We've got a mandate, church. We cannot be a dead sea that just sucks up the blessings of God and then asks for more. And our prayer becomes entrenched in what we need and what we want and our little lives. But God wants us to be a conduit and a vessel to declare his glory. Everybody say, declare his glory among the heathen and his wonders among the people. You know something that they need to hear. You've got something that they need to find. You're enjoying something that they want in the depth of their soul. You've got something to give to this world around you. Apostolic people without a witness in their life have lost sight of their purpose and their mission. They've become Egyptian. They've become Canaanite. They have become assimilated into the cultures around them and fallen into the same pit of self-interest that Israel had fallen into. But the psalmist said, I sent my people out among all nations to declare it. And the mandate is declare his glory among the heathen. Verse 4, for the Lord is great. They don't know that, but you do. And greatly to be praised. They don't know how, but you do. He is to be feared above all gods, for the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. They don't know that, but you do. Somebody needs to take that to them. God doesn't do anything. He won't send an angel to them tonight to preach the gospel, but he will send you. He won't send the word on the wind to them to bring them into the covenant, but he will send you. If you won't go, they won't hear. If you won't go, they won't hear. God uses people. The gods of the nations are idols. The Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Praise God. Praise God. That is the mandate in this psalm for Israel. And there is a hint there in those first six verses about what God is going to do. He's going to open up his door to all the world. There's prophecy here. The word of creative power and prophecy goes before everything that God does. And he's opening up a door here. He wants all the world to sing the new song. Praise God. Praise God. Beginning in verse 7, the prophetic creative word was in the psalm in Israel's mouth. And as they begin to sing, even if they were backslidden, and even if they never went out and did what God had fashioned them to do, the creative word came out of the mouth of David and all those who would sing from this book of Psalms. And it radiates down to the place where we are standing even tonight. Verse 7, give to the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Now this is not about Israel anymore. This is about the kindreds of the people. The prophecy here is, and the emphatic word here is, I want the kindreds of the people to give the Lord glory and strength. I want the heathen or the Gentiles or the world at large, verse 8, to give to the Lord the glory due his name. I want outsiders and Canaanites and Philistines and Gentiles to bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. I want the world outside to come in and worship him in the beauty of holiness. This part begins, give to the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. There's an awesome power here in creative word and prophetic utterance. 1,000 years before a Gentile church will be born, this word is uttered out of the mouth of David. And there's a Gentile world in seed out there. And there's a church yet to be born. David may not understand anything about it. But as he opens his mouth and as he serves God, the creative word goes out of his mouth. And the prophetic word issues forth. And it never falls to the earth, but it always accomplishes the will of God. Can you say praise the Lord? Like Ezekiel 37, and the prophet is taken by God out into a valley of dry bones. But before those bones stand on their feet and they're a mighty army, that man has to prophesy to those bones. And those bones can't hear, and those bones don't have any means of relating with that man, but they cannot resist the creative pulse of the prophetic word of God as it goes forth. He prophesied to the bones and the bones came together. And then he prophesied to the wind and the wind blew upon the bones. I want you to know Israel had power in its mouth and in its heart. It never did go out and do what God wanted it to do. But we're standing here alive and well in the church of the living God tonight, and we've got a mandate from God to touch our city, and the power of the creative word is the same as it was back then. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You cannot separate God and his Word. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word came into his own, and his own received him not. The Word came to a world that he had made, and the world didn't know him. Well, praise God. The word of God went forth in a valley of dry bones, became a mighty army. A word went forth out of Isaiah's mouth 700 years early. God never does anything without an utterance. God never does anything without a prophetic word. God never does anything without a creative word going forth. And guess who is the emissary, the oracle of the word of God? It is Israel in the old, and it is the church of the living God in the new. The word of prophecy is nigh thee, yea, even in thy mouth. The word of prophecy is near you. Yes, it's in your mouth. God gave you the hope of the world, not to be a Dead Sea. God gave you the power of the Holy Ghost. But he didn't say so you could be happy and you could be content and you could be powerful. He said you're going to receive the Holy Ghost not many days hence, and you're going to be witnesses unto my name, beginning at Jerusalem and into Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. Clap your hands into him and bless his name. Go ahead and open your mouth. You've got a prophetic, creative word in your mouth tonight. Praise God. There's an utterance in the heart of Israel, but they don't utilize it. Ezekiel 38 talks about an alignment of nations, and those nations are on the deck tonight. Why? Because the word of God said that they would be there. They could do nothing else. They could not cease to exist. They had to survive through the millennia because the word of God said they would be here at this juncture in time. They couldn't be anybody else or do anything else other than show up at the appointed schedule that the word of God had spoken concerning them. Praise God. Isaiah opened up his mouth and he said, I want you to know there's coming a sign. A virgin is going to conceive and bring forth a son. I want you to understand that had never happened before and it's never happened since. How did that come to pass? By the creative utterance, the power of the prophetic word of the living God. And it moved down 700 years and brought forth a child out of the womb of Mary, and hell could not have stopped it, and Rome couldn't stop it, and Herod tried to kill all the babies. But I'm telling you tonight, when you're walking in and with and by the word of God, there's not a thing in this world that can stop you. Well, praise God. You tie your dreams to his dreams. You get your dreams hooked up in this evangelize the world, tell everybody about Jesus business. You get your life hooked. I'm telling you, there's something awesome and powerful. The residuals, the spinoffs, when you begin to move according to the mandate of the word of God, something begins to move in your life. You don't even know what you're doing sometimes. You're obeying the word of God. You're opening up valves. You're pulling chains. You're pushing buttons. You don't see what it's doing, but in the spirit, things are going off. Things are moving. Your tomorrows are being prepared. Your next weeks are being readied by the hand and by the spirit of God, by the creative utterance of God. Praise God. God does everything by creative utterance. He does everything by his word. He didn't bring forth his son without a prophetic word. Praise God. Tonight, there are 500 million people in our world that talk in tongues. Harvard's statistics, and they're probably 6 years old now, so it's more than that. But Joel said, from 5 centuries before Christ, Joel said, and in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. All flesh. Everybody say all flesh. Not Israel flesh. Not holy flesh. Not white flesh or black flesh. But all flesh. Do you know that all over the world tonight, in little huts in the Philippines, they're talking in tongues, and in little villages in Africa, they're talking in tongues, and in the big cities of Europe, they're talking in tongues, and in every municipal area in the United States, they're talking in tongues. How is that? Why is that? Why is that phenomenon happening right now? Because the word of God has gone forth. Somebody's lifted it up and said, in the last days, saith God, I'm going to pour out of my spirit. It's a powerful thing when you open your mouth and begin to say what the word of God has said. Beyond your understanding, beyond your capacities, beyond your personal strength, you have an impact in areas you'll never go. You can impact things in the spirit you can't even begin to understand by opening your mouth. He loosed Israel. Israel had the word. They were the oracle of God, but they couldn't get over their flesh. It was too big a hassle to serve God. Praise God. Verses 7 through 10. He's talking to the Gentiles. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give the Lord glory and strength. Praise God. What are we doing here tonight? We're giving unto the Lord. We came in here and spent the first 30 minutes worshiping and praising and magnifying God. And how many Jews we have in the house? Any Jews? No Jews, no half Jews, no Samaritans. Huh. You're the fulfillment of this scripture. You're a bunch of Gentiles, kindreds of the people in the house, giving unto the Lord glory and strength. Praise God. Praise God. It's happening all over the world. It's happening all over the world. Give unto the Lord, verse 8. The glory due his name. What are we doing here tonight? We're a bunch of Gentiles, and we're giving to the Lord the glory due unto his name. How are we here? Why are we here? Because the word of God said the Gentiles are coming. The heathen are coming. There's going to be, because David began to sing it, whether he knew it or not, he began to sing it when the ark was back among the people in their prayer times and in their temple times. Israel, backslidden or front slidden, they got in the house and they began to sing these songs, and they may not have known what it was about. The disciples didn't understand all the way down to the time that Jesus ascended into heaven. They said, will you now restore the kingdom unto Israel? They didn't get it. They didn't understand. But by their utterance, there would be born a Gentile church. It's 2,000 years later, and these scriptures are being fulfilled in this house tonight, but not by your goodness, not by your wisdom, not because you thought, I'll go look for God, but because the creative power of the prophetic utterance of God came down through the ages and has landed here in Birmingham, Alabama. Praise God. Give the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering. My God, the Gentiles in the house tonight bringing an offering to God. Everybody that brought an offering tonight, say amen. Everybody that's a Gentile that brought an offering tonight, say amen. My God, you know what you are? You're the fulfillment of this scripture tonight. Praise God. And come into his courts. And we've entered his gates with thanksgiving. We've come into the courts of God with praise. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. He's talking to the kindreds of the people. He's talking to all the earth. And he's saying, come on, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. My. No Jews in the house tonight. But there's people worshiping God in this house in the beauty of holiness. The Gentile church is fulfilling this word in the house tonight. Can you say praise the Lord? The church. I could go more specifically and just say this church. Right here in real time. Your house. Your family. You are fulfilling. You are the evidence of the creative prophetic word of God. Praise God. Now, if you understand what I just told you, you also can understand the fact that in verses 10 through 13, say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. Praise God. We've got a mandate to step out into our city and say, the Lord reigns. The world also shall be established that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice. You got to hear this tonight. As sure as you're sitting here worshiping God, as sure as you're sitting here worshiping Him in the beauty of holiness, as sure as you're a Gentile sitting here tonight and you brought an offering to the Lord of God, or to the Lord God, the fields are going to be joyful. The trees are going to rejoice. The earth is going to be glad. The sea is going to roar, and the Lord is coming. Verse 13, before the Lord, for He cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with His truth. You are a witness tonight. You are the fulfillment of the prophetic, creative word of God. And as surely as you're a Gentile on these pews tonight, bringing an offering, worshiping God in holiness, praising and giving Him the glory to His name, God is coming back to this earth. You are a testimony to the veracity of the word of God and the fact that He's coming back. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Now our mandate tonight is the same as Israel's mandate. This word now then is to us because the truth was theirs. Now it's ours. They were the bride, but now we are the bride. They were the church in the wilderness. Now we're the church, the temple of the living God. They were the place where the Holy Ghost used to dwell in that Holy of Holies. And now He dwells in the corporate body of His church, universal. Somebody say praise the Lord. And the mandate that was theirs is our mandate tonight. Verse 196. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. That was Israel's. They didn't do it. But my God, we're in this house tonight. It's our mandate. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. It is our job to open this up not just to those that are like us, but to everybody outside the walls of this church. Sing unto the Lord and bless His name and show forth His salvation day to day. I don't have a day off, Brother Ronnie. Every day's a day to show forth His salvation. And it's not up to them to look at me and to understand what I am. It's up to me to tell them what I am and what I was and what He's done for me. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Verse 3, somebody shout, declare His glory among the heathen and His wonders among all people. That was a word for Israel, but now it's a word for the church of the living God. Declare His glory. Declare Him among the heathen. Praise God. They didn't do it, but I have something going on down in my heart tonight that says we will not be a Dead Sea. We will not be a backslidden Israel. We will not stand before Him and have Him ask, why didn't you talk about it? Why didn't you tell Him about it? Went to high school with Pentecostal kids. Sat in physics and chemistry with one that's backslidden now. She might have been backslidden then, but she was dressed up holy. I didn't know what she was. Never met one before. Sister Sutton had classes with them. They went to our high school. The only thing they had to say was when we prayed through and came in the church, they said, you're the last people I ever thought I'd see in a Pentecostal church. They'd come by and say, you're the last folks I thought I'd ever see singing in a Pentecostal choir. It didn't help me any. They didn't help me. Well, I'm going to give them a break. I might not have lived for God. I might have been too young and too stupid. I barely made it when I did come in. But they could have told me. They could have told me. My whole school might have. I remember Keith Clark preaching
at a home missions seminar in my home church in Baton Rouge. And we had people there that were all part of the football team at Troy State. They had to almost shut down the athletic program that year because almost everybody on that football team got the Holy Ghost and got baptized in Jesus' name. You don't know the power of the creative word of God and the prophetic utterance of God until you loose your mouth. God's not going to come down. He's not going to talk to your neighbor. He's not going to send an angel down to talk to your neighbor. Pray, tell me. Who's going to talk to your neighbor? He's not going to send an angel down into your office. He's not going to come down. That's why he saved your soul out of hell. He saved you to put you to work. Now come on and go to work.
Praise God. I got to quit. I'm trying to crunch this and make use of the time here. We used a lot of time for that door knocking campaign. Praise God. But I want to tell you, in the Holy Ghost tonight, as sure as we have risen up out of our Gentile world, and tonight are the fulfillment of these passages, we're in the house, we're worshiping God, we're bringing an offering, we're exalting Him and giving Him glory. Praise God. And we're praising Him in the beauty of holiness. We've come out of our Gentile world. And we're not Jews. We are the church, the bride of Christ. As sure as God has, by the power of His creative word, has dragged us up out of our world, there is a church yet unborn in this city. They are all around. We are not all that there is. We're not even the very beginning of all that there is in this city. That prophetic word hasn't just started up today. It's come to us from 1,000 years ago. 3,000 years ago, David is saying, it's for the whole world. It's for all the kindreds of the people. They're going to come. They're going to praise Him in holiness. My God, they're out there now. Somebody's sitting on his back porch drinking a Budweiser right now, thinking if he could find God, he'd serve God. I'm telling you, they're out there and they're hungry for what you have. But there's only one vehicle God will use for evangelism, and that is a blood-bought, spirit-filled child of God like you are. If we don't do it, it won't get done. My God, it scares me to death. I've got to get a hold of this thing. Got to tell somebody what God has done for me. Let's stand together. Why don't we come down around the altar? I'd like for you to come. You're not standing here by yourself tonight, but there is a power resonating from the creative word of God, and it's flowing all in and around your life. When you get down to this altar, find you one person and tell them, I'm going to pray for you that you be a soul winner. I'm going to pray for you that you'll be fruitful in the hands of God. I'm going to pray for you that you'll have an anointing on your life. I'm going to pray for you that Holy Ghost will just resonate out of. Won't you just pray for them? And when you run out of something to pray, pray in tongues. When you run out of something that you know to pray, just let the Holy Ghost finish that, punctuate that prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let the Gentiles praise. Let all the kindreds of the people praise. Let them come forth and praise Him in the beauty of holiness. Let them come forth and bring an offering to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Help me remember
God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I will give you all.
Hallelujah.
I will give you all. If all is what you ask of me, I will not withhold.
Praise God, praise God. Could you sing with them? I'll give you all.
I will give you all.
Oh, I'll give you all.
I will give you all.
If all is what you ask.
If all is what you ask of me, I will not withhold. And if my sacrifice is less.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Did you buy a jug of milk today, or did you stop and fill your tank up with gas, or did you drive through and buy a hamburger? Don't look at your shoes. I'm not condemning you. I'm just telling you, look at the possibilities. You don't know where he is. You don't know where she is. God knows. He's going to direct your path and order your steps. And you're going to say, hey, would you come go to church with me? Would you come? Would you just check out the website? Would you? But the only way they won't come, if we just shut our mouth and we say, I'm too busy, I have too many needs, I am too involved with what I want and what I need. For a fact, I don't even have time to give you a card and invite you to church. And we work on a job together every day. But I have yet to tell you about what the Holy Ghost can do in somebody's life. My God. We can't be a dead sea. Praise God. Got to tell somebody. Going to school, Kara? Got cards in your purse? Come on. You been giving them out? All right. This is not nice. Is it? Praise God. I know you. You talk about this all the time. And you bring people to church all the time. And I really appreciate your zeal. I'm just trying to deliver to you what the Holy Ghost is talking to us about tonight. Praise God. I really do. I'm just going to tell you. The more I travel, the more I fellowship, I'm going to tell you, the more we have in common with those revival churches in the valley in California, that revival church in Wichita, Kansas, there's something in the air around this place. God's going to use you. He's going to do something in your life. He didn't give this to you just to have all by yourself. There's somebody out there that God's got you already lined up with. God bless you. Friday night, 6:30, to stuff evangelism bags. Prayer at 9 o'clock Saturday morning. 10 o'clock, we'll be on the deck hanging flyers on doors. Praise God. If you can't come, pray for us. Praise God. Friday night at 7 o'clock, all pregnant and new moms meeting with Sister Kim Hurst.